Red Line.
Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić cancelled his much-anticipated visits to Brussels and New York in a move seen as an act of defiance to the West after reports emerged that foreign meddling had triggered street protests in the country. It would be an exaggeration to say that Serbia has been rocked by protests. However, it's unavoidable that the manifestations that have been cropping up more regularly could one day intensify and be used by the West to pressure the government into political concessions. After all, Serbia has expressed interest in concluding a free trade agreement with the Russian-led Eurasian Union and just hosted Chinese President Xi Jinping to discuss One Belt, One Road initiative. Amidst all of this, though, it can't be forgotten that Serbia did agree to a controversial NATO transit agreement earlier this year and still officially wants to join the European Union. For trying to be a new Tito in the new Cold War and attempting to balance between the East and West, however clumsy, Aleksandar Vučković is our man in the news this week. And to discuss it in more detail, let me welcome the studio Mr. Vladimir Mikheyev, Russia Beyond the Headlines Troika Report project commentator. We are trying to see how all those twists of sudden decisions taken by Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić would tell on its troubled relationship with the European Union. From your point of view, was that decision to cancel or pigeonhole, postpone the visits, does it come as a sort of a new turnaround in the Belgrade policy, or that's a sort of a bargaining chip?
I think it's both. It's both for the mere reason that Aleksandar Vučić has actually realized that he's coming under too much pressure from the West to take sides. I think that the West is actually making the same mistake as in the case of Ukraine. It is actually putting a very...
Too much of a pressure.
Too much of a pressure, saying that it's either you join us or you don't do that, and you maintain some kind of relationship, well, let's say, for instance, with Russia and others. I think for Serbia, which is no more, let's say, the core of Yugoslavia, which used to be quite a significant actor, geopolitical actor within Europe at least, now Serbia is a too small country, which for them it would be the best option to have good relationship, meaningful relationship in terms also of trade and economic cooperation with the West and in general and the East, meaning with Russia, given the fact that the Serbia has always maintained special relationship, privileged relationship with Russia through the centuries. I believe that it's sort of a bargaining chip. Probably there is a decision, more or less consensus within the ruling political class, or at least the ruling segment of the political class in Serbia, to join the European Union, mean to join the collective West, as we have already mentioned in our program. So I believe that this is just a bargaining chip. It was a tactics trying to to prove the point, meaning that Serbia would like to maintain a certain level of independence, although under the circumstances, I don't believe that is possible.
By the way, the independence, this is the key word which was used during the stormy British referendum.
Absolutely.
So I think that those countries like Serbia, which are knocking at the door of European Union, should not forget about the countries which are already living and opening Pandora box, so to say.
True.
You mentioned the mistakes which are made by the bureaucracy in Brussels over making too much of pressure on Serbia. Just repeating to what happened with Ukraine, and I want to recall another statement which was made this week by high-ranking German official, Minister of State for Europe and for Europe, Michael Roth, who said that, let me quote, "You want to join the EU, then there can't be some neutral position of a state that wants membership." Can you just explain that word in neutral position? What is meant by neutral position? So we look at the European Union, all countries are not neutral or what?
Absolutely. No, I think the question should be posed to the author. What actually did he mean?
Mm-hmm.
Neutrality is something that is a very vague notion.
Are they deprived of the right for neutrality?
So. I think that it's incorrect use of the word. I think what he's trying to say that if you want to join the European Union, that means that you have to align your foreign policy with the policy directives taken, which are being taken in Brussels. which is actually not quite the case, because there is a certain diversity, as we have seen the last 2 years during the war of sanctions against Russia. There is a diversity of opinion within the European itself. And as we see now, especially with so many moves taken by the French Senate, let's say, or the German parliamentarian saying that they would like to actually to roll back the policy of sanctions, would like to reform, the foreign policy in respect of Russia. So there is no unanimity in this respect. They are not neutral. They take a certain stance. I think that there might be certain divergence or pluralism of opinions within the European Union if such an entity survives as a serious political actor, and there is an opportunity to debate the foreign policy, which is a very intricate issue.
Obviously, they have to soften their rhetoric and improve their technique if they want to embrace new members. But now, let's hear the voice from Belgrade. Now we have on the line Mr. Borislav Karkadelovic, who is Serbian independent political analyst.
Red Line.
Welcome to Red Line. So today, our man in the news is Aleksandar Vučić, Serbian prime minister, who suddenly canceled his visits to European Union and the United States. We are not going to say that this is a major turnaround in the policy of Belgrade. Far from that, but it seems that something is in air over that. And probably you mentioned that a couple of weeks back, Prime Minister Vučić visited Moscow. That was also unexpected visit, a private visit. He met President Putin. And this week itself, we've seen another landmark visit to Serbia, which was made by Chinese President Xi Jinping. So does it mean that if we look at the geography of the visits, that Belgrade is trying to somehow to balance its policy, not to put eggs in one basket?
Right, you are right, and the latest confirmation of, confirmation to such politics proved that such politics is correct for the moment are the biggest news of the day and weeks, probably, and months. That is Brexit, the decision by British voters to leave the European Union. So that is another confirmation that Serbia should adopt a balanced policy, and that is what this, but also previous governments are trying to do, and there are many reasons why such policy is most convincing for the Serbian population. They continue or listen to your question.
Thank you very much for that comment. Earlier today, my co-anchor Andrew Karipka spoke to another Serbian analyst, Stefan Karganovic, who is the director of the Srebrenica Historical Project and the writer at the Serbian weekly Pečat. And here is what Mr. Karganovic said.
Red Line.
Okay, Stefan, what's going on with the latest protests against Vučić, and why did he cancel his trips to Brussels and Washington?
Everyone is puzzled by the abrupt cancellation of these trips, which normally would be attributed considerable symbolic, if not substantive, significance as evidence that the regime continues to be in the good graces of its major international sponsors. There is no reliable information at this point about the reasons behind this unusual development, but it is sensible to assume that some fissures have appeared in the relationship. Those fissures may be related to the first part of your question. Anti-government protests in Serbia are gaining momentum at three important locations. One is, of course, the capital, Belgrade, but also the large northern city of Novi Sad and the equally important southern town of Niš, N-I-S-H. The specific issues differ at each of these locations. So the protests are locally calibrated, but they have to do with the standard color revolution scenario that involves charges of corruption, lack of transparency, and assaults on media freedom. These clearly contrived and unspontaneous movements are amply financed from somewhere and professionally organized and led. So you may draw your own conclusions about the political interests that are behind them, and you can then relate that to the possible fissures that have developed among the actors at the official level that we referred to earlier.
Yeah, I have to say, this is all very interesting, Stefan, and you spoke about some unusual developments, and that got me wanting to ask you the next question, and that's about how Serbia has expressed its eagerness to cooperate with the Russian-led Eurasian Union and China's One Belt, One Road initiative. But what's strange about all of this is that it still signed the NATO Transit Agreement earlier this year and openly wants to join the EU. So what do you make out of this balancing act, and how sustainable do you think it is in the long run?
Well, it is not a balancing act, if by that you're implying an attempt to display diplomatic adroitness. It is the confused policy of corrupt, cornered, and incompetent dilettantes. It is an unsustainable policy because the global crisis is rapidly approaching the point where all actors, large and small, will have to unambiguously align themselves, both politically and morally, taking sides with all the risks that necessarily implies. The current authorities in Serbia are incapable of taking any bold and significant decisions in the interest of the country that they have been installed to administer on behalf of essentially hostile foreign interests. That is the crux of the problem. With countries of the multipolar community, they may sign all sorts of agreements that are beneficial to Serbia, but they will drag their feet on the implementation, and in the end, I suspect, little may come of it.
That was Stefan Karganović, director of the Srebrenica Historical Project and writer at the Serbian weekly Pečat. Mr. Mihai, we are running out of time, so if we just make a wrap-up comment, can you agree that probably if we look at the Serbian situation and the dilemma that a Serbian prime minister is facing, that this is the question of the costs, political, economic costs? What is at stake is sovereignty? What is at stake is the right to decide whom to make friends with and upgrade relations.
Absolutely. From in this context, the issue is really crucial for Serbia, because if you join the European Union, you have to accept the fact that it is unofficially conducting pursuing the doctrine of limited sovereignty. You give away part of your political and economic sovereignty to what, for instance, the Brexiters, as we mentioned before, used to say to the unelected Euro bureaucrats in Brussels. Is Serbia ready to do so? I remember an interesting case. The Serbians had a strong spirit and a drive for being very independent, very independent-mindedly. Almost 200 years ago, during the Vienna Congress, the Austrian Chancellor Metternich once mentioned Serbians as one of the most recalcitrant and rebellious tribes in the Balkans that should be subjugated to the will of major powers. So even 200 years ago, many of the Europeans actually believed that the Serbians should be brought into line and to be put into their place where they belong. And they, you know, as Fugerid used to say, the strong do what they can, but the weak must suffer what they must. So I don't think that this is the case of Serbia. It's for them to make the decision. But once again, for Aleksandar Vučić, it's a matter of listening to the will of the people. Vox populi is, after all, the soul and the ultimate judge.
Absolutely. So this is all time what we have for today, and let me thank all our guests, beginning with our studio guest, Mr. Vladimir Mikheyev, Russia Beyond the Headlines, Troika Report Project commentator, Mr. Stefan Karganovich, director of the Srebrenica Historical Project and writer of the Serbian weekly Pechat, and Mr. Borislav Karkadelovich, Serbian independent political analyst. And with this, we end this edition of Red Line, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Sergei Strokin. Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.